Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of bbfohio.com. I'm Pastor Greg, and I welcome you to our study in Luke chapter 22, verses 35 through 38, titled, He That Hath No Sword, Buy One. The conclusion of this two-part study can be found at bbfohio.com, where you will also find our contact and donation information. That website, again, is bbfohio.com. Now we begin with the current events update, and then our study in Luke chapter 22, verses 35 through 38, titled, He That Hath No Sword, Buy One. This is part one of two.
The current events update. Number one, we continue to watch the East Palestine, Ohio situation. The riverbeds are covered with chemicals, and we have a video of the lady who's tossing a rock in there. And watch what comes up from the bottom of the creek when she drops that rock in.
Wow.
See all that?
Look at it.
It's all in the bottom of the creek bed.
So anybody saying that... the spill is over with and there's no problems, they're lying to you. Most of the news coverage has been local. It's a shame, but our government leaders and our mainstream news media are bought and paid for, and they don't tell you the truth unless they are allowed to. And so this is just a little example of some of the local news coverage.
So once again, would you move? As I'm going to throw another rock right here. Would you stay here? Would you drink that water? Would you be affiliated with this? Would you bathe your kids when it's bubbling up and looking like an oil slick?
Just throw a rock the size of your fist into that water. Imagine what's really down there in all the creek beds and everything. So credit where due, Senator Vance is drawing attention to the matter. He did this.
Hey guys, so I'm here at Leslie Run, and there's dead worms and dead fish all throughout this water. So, something I just discovered is that if you scrape the creek bed, it's like chemical is coming out of the ground. Can you come here? And let me just show this to people. I don't know if you're going to see this on camera, but watch this. Just see that chemical pop out of the creek. This is disgusting. And the fact that we have not cleaned up the train crash, the fact that these chemicals are still seeping in the ground is an insult to the people who live in East Palestine. Do not forget these people. We've got to keep applying pressure. That's how we're going to fix this problem. Thank you.
Amen. And then his advice when he gave a little news briefer afterward was, don't drink the water.
It reminds me of that scene in Erin Brockovich where she puts the water in front of them and says, if you think it's clean, we brought this water from the community that was affected. Look, I think that if the EPA administrator wants to stand here and tell people that the tap water is safe, by all means, they should be willing to drink it.
Are you?
No, I just told
him. He said, are you?
Tom, I think that if I was living here, I would drink the bottled water for now. Better safe than sorry, especially since it's being provided for free. That's the guidance I would give. But again, residents are going to make their own decisions on this. But my honest personal advice is I'd be drinking the bottled water right now.
And, that's why we recommend you get a hold of one of these. We use Berkey, and there's is it called AccuPure or something like that? There's
Alexa Pure.
Okay, and then anybody else, if you know any good ones, we're not advertising for any particular brand. But do not trust your government unless you can verify what you're told. For about 20 years now, I've been trying to get through people's mind. If you've been told to trust your government, you've been lied to. The Bible itself says that man is wicked. Amen. Your government is made up of people, human beings, men and women, and very few of them are Christians. And most of them worship the almighty dollar. And just like our news media, they will not tell you something if it's going to go against one of their donors. And that's the reality. So number two, they take your guns and they make you slaves. If you want slavery, support gun control.
King George called us rabble-rousers, rabble in arms. But with God's grace, George Washington and many brave men gave us our country. Soon after, God's grace and a few great men gave us our Constitution. It's been said that the creation of the United States is the greatest political act in history. I'll sign that. In the next two centuries, though, freedom did not flourish. The next revolution, the French, collapsed in the bloody terror, followed by Napoleon's tyranny. There's been no shortage of dictators since in many countries. Hitler, Mussolini, Stalin, Mao, Idi Amin, Castro, Pol Pot, all these monsters began by confiscating private arms, then literally soaking the earth with the blood of tens and tens of millions of their people. Ah, the joys of gun control.
Amen. And the godless communists in America are coming for your guns. And the Antichrist will take the guns from all the people who take the mark, but he will have resistance. The church, I believe, in the pre-trib rapture, I believe we are raptured before the tribulation period, but in Daniel 7, and there's other indicators in other passages, that there are going to be those who don't take the mark and resist the Antichrist. They will only be able to do so if they keep their guns. And today, you do the study in history. Every nation that loses its guns loses its freedoms. Amen. Without exception. And anybody supporting gun control is just a brainwashed fool who won't turn off the news media and won't study this issue for themselves. And that's where you got some professing Christians who support gun control, and they're ignoramuses. When you talk to them, they have no idea what they're talking about. You take the you take Chicago right now. You take Columbus, Ohio right now, where all this gun violence is going on. It's not guns. It's the politicians who are liberal, and they do not enforce the law. And because of that, you have lawlessness, and that's why you have high gun crime in those areas. They also have the strictest gun control laws in the country, and it's the most dangerous places to live in the country. Common sense ought to kick in, folks. You want common sense gun laws? You should have, they say, we need common sense gun control. Yes, shoot straight. Yep. That's gun control. You never pull your gun unless you need to. You have to. I was taught by my dad, but I was taught this in other classes. You never pull a gun on somebody unless you intend to kill them. And you should never intend to kill anybody unless it's self-defense. But with that said,
of serially mistreating the country over a period of many years, they're starting to get worried. They are afraid of the people they govern. How do we know that? Because they're moving at high speed to disarm the people they govern. Here's plastic surgery model Gavin Newsom of California last month.
We've chosen this. This is our decision to live in these conditions. It doesn't exist anywhere else in the world. So we've chosen this. We've accepted this. We can sit there and say thoughts and prayers, or we can look in the mirror and say, this is the price, I guess, of whatever. Fill in the blank. Freedom. This is the price. I get freedom. Freedom from what?
Prayer? How stupid is prayer, says Gavin Newsom. People who pray are idiots. I'm the only God here. Bow down before me. You can no longer defend yourselves. Only I have the right to defend your life. Now think about that for a minute. It's not a reassuring message, really. Anyone who strips you of your basic God-given right to self-defense is probably not your friend. And anyone who does it in a moment of chaos like the ones we're living through, chaos that people like Gavin Newsom caused on purpose, anyone who does that is probably your blood enemy. But Gavin Newsom is not alone. Gretchen Whitmer of Michigan has the very same message. Stop praying and obey. Watch.
Firearms are getting more dangerous, too. Thanks to 3D printed technology called Glock switches that turn semi-automatic weapons fully automatic. That's why we launched Operation Safe Neighborhoods, taking hundreds of illegal firearms off the street before they could be used in the commission of a crime. But we must do more. So the world our kids inherit is not more violent than the one we inhabit now. The time for only thoughts and prayers is over.
Another low IQ plastic surgery disaster lecturing us about things she has no understanding of. So laugh at Gretchen Whitmer, if you will. But then think about what she's saying. She's mocking prayer. Really? Well, now that you mention it, Gretchen Whitmer, we might use a little prayer right now. Prayers work better than equity. Prayers are safer than Norfolk Southern. Prayers are more comforting than Kamala Harris's laugh. There's nothing wrong with prayers. What we don't need any more of is more totalitarian atheists with ill-gotten political power and designs on our lives. We've got enough of those, including you. So when they're telling you that the two things you cannot have are guns and prayer, you know for a fact that those are the two things you need most. And we're seeing a lot of evidence of that lately. Abandoned by their government to a world politicians have intentionally made chaotic, Americans are protecting themselves. They have no choice.
Amen. And I also highly recommend a documentary called Innocence Betrayed. Have you ever seen that? Some of you have. Those who do not remember the past are condemned to repeat it.
What happens when self-defense is against the law? What happens when the protectors become the predators? What happens when innocents are betrayed? Imagine that two-thirds of all Americans disappear. 170 million people. Or that the countries of Germany, France, and Spain are virtually wiped off the map. 170 million people gone. In the 20th century, that's how many innocents were slaughtered, tortured, starved, mutilated, worked to death, bayoneted, hanged, annihilated at the hands of their governments. They had no means to defend themselves.
Amen.
Amen.
So in our study, we're about to see Jesus command his followers to be armed, so we're going to leave it there. But I just want to say one thing. I had somebody one time trying to convince me that guns were evil. So I pulled mine out. Emptied it, made sure it was empty, walked over and sat it down, and sat there across from that person. I said, how long do you think it's going to be before that gun hurts you? Then I walked back over and popped my back in the chamber, set it down again. Now it's loaded. How long is it going to be before that gun hurts you? Guns are not evil.
Amen.
And all the brainwashing of the past 30 or 40 years in public schools and in entertainment and in the news media is satanic, to condition you to be an unarmed slave to the Antichrist.
Amen. Yeah.
Those same people are baby murderers who support gun control. Those same people are sodomites and sodomite allies along with their gun control. They're Marxists along with their gun control. They are evil, wicked people with a smattering of ignoramuses thrown in for good measure. And that's where we are in America right now, as they try to disarm you so that they can completely control you.
Yep.
All right, so we're in Luke 22, verses 35 through 38. The title is from the words of Jesus Christ, "He that hath no sword, buy one." I'm going to have you read the even verses with me. So I'll start in verse 35, and then you jump in 36. "And he said unto them, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lack ye anything? And they said, nothing. Then said he unto them, but now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip. And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you, that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. And they said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. And he said unto them, it is enough. Amen? So, a reminder, we're at the Passover meal. This is the final day for Jesus before he's crucified. And it's coming to a close now. We've gone through this very carefully, verse by verse, and there's the timeline if you've been interested. If you would like to have a copy of that, it's on the website, bbfohio.com. You can download it in a PDF. And we see that the day in Jewish reckoning begins at 6 p.m., and it's even. So it's evening is when the day begins. And that's when Jesus brought his followers together, and they enjoyed the Passover, which then was used to institute the Lord's Supper, communion. And then by the time, where we are now is it's around, probably around 9 or 10. That's my opinion, but I've checked out some other commentators and teachers, and that's pretty generally believed that where we're at right now in this text that we read this morning is around 9 or 10 o'clock in the evening. And we know all of this that I'm talking about takes place between 6 p.m. and 6 a.m. because we're told daylight comes in verse 66. You look down in your own Bible, you'll see that all this that started in verse 1 in Luke 22 comes down to verse 66. And it says, and as soon as it was day, the elders of the people and the chief priests and the scribes came together and led him into their council. So everything from this point forward is going to take place at nighttime. And there's a little addendum to the chart to show you that everything between verse 1 and verse 65 happens between 6 p.m. and 6 a.m. And that's how the Jewish reckoning of a day. So it's a little hard for us to get used to because we start at midnight and run to midnight. But if you get that in your head, it just makes things a lot easier when you're trying to understand what you read. Now, again, verse 35, as Jesus speaking, and he said unto them, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? And they said, nothing. This marks the beginning of the transition of dispensations. It's also something to always keep in mind. Up until the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you're still under Mosaic law. It's the New Testament that you're reading, the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John you're reading, but the actual events right up to this point are still under Mosaic law. There's still a temple. They're still offering blood animal sacrifices. They're still under Mosaic law. That's not what we do today. Why? Because we're in a different dispensation. Now, we invite you again to go to our website, and under resources and charts, you'll find our dispensational charts. There's 30-some other free charts for you there. And I'll zoom this in a little bit, and you'll see that God has dealt differently with men all the way through history. He dealt differently with Adam and Eve before the fall. Then he dealt differently with them after the fall. And then so forth. You see going in each one of these, and you come to what we see as law, dispensation of law, or the Mosaic covenant, however, whatever label you want to put on it. We're down to where you see on the side, it's sideways, so you turn your head sideways, you see 69 weeks. That's because in Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 to 27, the prophet Daniel predicted how the Mosaic dispensation was going to end. And the countdown would begin with a decree from King Artaxerxes to rebuild Jerusalem and the walls, and then you would count down 70 sevens of years, is the right way of saying it. 490 years. Each seven of those years was called a week. Then Daniel says, at the end of the 69th week is when Messiah would be cut off. That's when he would die. So you go back and now our calendar's a little loopy at times, but you can see that even though there might be a little wiggle room here or there to make it works out perfectly. God will tell us which one of us was right one of these days. But you count down from the year of Artaxerxes giving that commandment to the year that Jesus was crucified, and it's 483 years. And so that's the 69 weeks means we're coming to the end of the Mosaic dispensation, and that's why Jesus is making a change here. He makes numerous changes. But he says, when I sent you out without purse or scrip or shoes, lacked you anything? And they said, nothing. Well, he's about to change that. Why? Because the dispensation is coming to an end. Everything's about to change. You look closely, you'll see that on the chart, the Mosaic Law ends with the 69th week, and then you have the Gospel of Grace, the pre-trib rapture, and then the final 7 years is what we call the time of Great Tribulation. Now, Jesus spoke often of the change of dispensation, so comparing Scripture with Scripture, let's just go back a few pages to the book of Mark. We just read through this a few days ago in our Bible reading calendar. Mark chapter 2, verses 18 through 20. Mark 2, 18 says, "And the disciples of John and of the Pharisees used to fast. And they come and say unto him, Why do the disciples of John and of the Pharisees fast, but thy disciples fast not?" Read 19 with me. "And Jesus said unto them, Can the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast." Now look, he's now telling you about the new dispensation that's about to come. Verse 20, "But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them." When did that happen? Acts chapter 1. "And then shall they fast in those days." When? After Acts chapter 1. What happened after Acts chapter 1? Acts chapter 2. What was in Acts chapter 2? Pentecost. So we have the, people like to call that the birth of the church. But the text actually says there was already a church there. It was called the apostles themselves were the foundation of the church. And the gospel itself is the bottom rock foundation, Jesus Christ being the gospel incarnate. And that then, on Pentecost, they were added to the church. You ever notice that? Reading in Acts chapter 2, it says that 3,000 souls were added to the church. So the church was already there. But if you call it the birthday of the church, at least it gives you an idea of the fact that the church began after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Before that, you're still under Mosaic law. Now, the book of Acts is where a lot of people get tripped up. But the book of Acts is a book of history. And it's telling you how we got from Mosaic law, after the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, how did we get to the Apostle Paul and this dispensation of the gospel of grace? If it weren't for the book of Acts, we'd have no idea where Paul even came from. You ever think about that? Without the book of Acts, Paul would just pop up with the book of Romans. Like, how did that happen? I mean, the Bible does leave some gaps for us. We're not told everything, but I'm glad that God gave us that information. Amen? So the new dispensation would include then a New Testament. Darren and I were talking about this. It's fitting he just walked in. I can embarrass him really good. But we were talking about this yesterday. What is a testament? People don't think of this. But a testament, what is a testament? Haven't you ever heard somebody's will being read and it says it's the last will and what?
Testament.
That's what your New Testament is. Jesus is leaving his last will and testament, Matthew through Revelation. And you, it's basically like you see, let's say I make a will. And let's say I have money. Don't worry, I don't, so don't ask. Let's say I have some money. And I say, well, you know what, this is a big lump of money. I want to share this with a group of people. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make a criteria, and those who meet that criteria are going to be included in my inheritance. So you'd have a will, then you'd have an addendum where names could be added or removed. Well, that's really the way the New Testament works. The New Testament is the last will and testament of Jesus Christ. By the way, you go to the book of Hebrews, it explains all this. The death of the testator, you remember that? And without the death of the testator, then the testament isn't in effect. But when the testator dies, that's when you read the will, right? Jesus died, and now we're reading the will. And if you want on the addendum, you know what that addendum is called? the book of life. You get born again, you get saved, your name is written in the book of life, and now you're on the addendum to that will. Amen. So that's what the purpose of the New Testament is. Now go over to chapter 16. John chapter 16, verses 12 and 13. And again, we're just looking at a couple of the examples of Jesus talking about the next dispensation. He's telling you what's not going to happen during his lifetime, but what's going to happen after he is gone. Verse 12 says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Do you realize when you start picking up, you pick up the book of Acts through Revelation, that's what you're reading. Think about that. Jesus said, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now.